being for many of us a difficult latter part of the week. I think almost everyone in this room knows somebody who was affected in one way or another by this flood in Arkansas. St. James Day School lost two students and one grandmother, which is a heavy, heavy blow for a small school. Fred and Sandy Whitson were at the 7:45 Mass this morning, and they told the story to me after the Mass of their escape from what was descending upon them, very, very harrowing tale. Of course, the first and the last thing that we can do in such a situation is to pray. Almighty God, look with pity upon the sorrows of your servants for whom we pray. Remember them, Lord, in your mercy. Nourish them with patience. Comfort them with a sense of your goodness. Lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Someone once wrote that there are two types of people. There are the people who bounce into a room and say, "Rejoice, I'm here." And then there are the people who come into a room and say, "Ah, there you are." Well, Simon the Pharisee is the former, and the woman sinner is the latter. Luke's gospel has been called by some the gospel of women. And no one other than our Lord, of course, speaks more often and so well about women than Luke the evangelist. It is Luke's gospel, you recall, that has all those stories about the Virgin Mary, including her visitation to Elizabeth, and the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and the prophetess Anna taking the Christ child up and blessing him. Women figure very prominently in the parables of Luke. In Luke, it is women who are the first witnesses to the resurrection. They are the ones that find the empty tomb. They are the ones who share the good news of the resurrection with the apostles. We might also call Luke's gospel, the gospel of forgiveness. None of the evangelists speaks as frequently as Luke of the forgiving spirit that motivates our Lord. So today we have the story of a woman, a sinner, by tradition a member of the world's oldest profession, wiping our Lord's feet. Luke does not tell us the time or the place of this encounter. Who is Simon the Pharisee? We don't know. Luke is very stingy on the facts. Although she is a woman of ill repute, the woman is clearly the hero of this story. Unlike Simon, she's not named. It may be that Luke deliberately wants to protect her identity from any possible detractors. Again, we don't know. We can probably deduce from Simon's manners, or rather his lack of manners, that Simon the Pharisee did not invite Jesus out of a spirit of hospitality. He wanted to check him out. Perhaps in a patronizing tone, he addresses this supposed wonder worker as teacher, rabbi. In reality, Simon is a very small guy. He's not given Jesus the traditional welcome kiss on the cheek. He has not anointed his perspiring head with oil. He has not offered him any water to wash the heavy dust off his sandal-covered feet. And as Jesus sits down to supper, you can imagine that our Lord is physically uncomfortable and unclean. But he keeps his silence, as he so often does. There will be time enough for a conversation with Simon before the night is over. And as he always does, as he will, Jesus gets the last word. Now, it was the custom in our Lord's day that in the grand houses, meals would be held in the courtyard. The breezes served as air conditioning. It was also the custom that the poor were allowed to come in and stand around in the shadows of the corners of the room to gawk at their betters and perhaps scrounge around for scraps which fell or were tossed from the table. This was a peculiar idea of a night out. Well, Luke pointedly tells us that this disgraced woman stood behind Jesus, and Simon knows what she's done for a living. I wonder, is Luke telling us that Simon has used her services? If so, Simon is not merely a coarse prig, but also a hypocrite. She speaks no words to the teacher, nor does she presume to touch his head, even though it needs anointing. Rather, she washes his dirty feet with her tears and perfume, and then dries them with her long hair. And of course, it was a grave offense for a Jewish woman to be outside with her hair long. But for the Messiah, it was all systems go. And for this work of mercy, Jesus forgives her sins. He even compliments her. He says, "Your faith has saved you." And then Jesus proceeds to work Simon over with his sharp tongue. And I bet you that Simon had serious indigestion when the meal was over. He quickly realized that whoever this rabbi was, he was no two-bit hick lightweight. Simon has seriously judged the man. In the modern vernacular, we might say that Jesus had owned Simon. The Pharisee is the moral midget. So much for the story. What are we to take away from this? What are we to learn from Jesus' words and actions? What did Jesus do? Well, what he doesn't do is he doesn't pretend that a sin is not a sin. He says to the woman, "This woman who has sinned much," but he doesn't shun her. He takes absolutely no notice of her bad reputation. He graciously allows her to do what it is she has to do. Yes, Jesus uncovers Simon's hypocrisy, but only to enable him to make it clear to everyone that the woman has been forgiven and released from her sin. Jesus does not excuse sin, but he forgives it. We as Christians knows that he takes the price of sin upon himself. Now, we are his followers. We are his co-workers in the world today. And if we are to carry on this great responsibility with any integrity, we must be forgiving people. I mean, isn't that the point of our Lord's remarks to Simon about two debtors who owed vastly different amounts but who were both forgiven? the one who was forgiven more was likely to be more grateful and more loving also. And all of us, need to be forgiven at one point in time or another. And God is always willing to forgive. But as a consequence of that forgiveness should be loving gratitude and better behavior, and especially a readiness, a willingness, an eagerness to forgive others. In the words of the Nicene Creed, let us stand and proclaim the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.